The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This week we're celebrating what has been called, Earth Care Week, a week where the Vipassana Insight Meditation communities around the country and the world in some ways is going to focus on the appreciating, celebrating, caring for the natural world, this world of ours. And so I'm going to give a few talks on this topic over the next this week. What I want to say today is I want to tell you a short story that occurs a number of places in the suttas, ancient discourses of the Buddha. It has to do with the Buddha's disciple Ananda receiving a gift of a number of robes for the, and the gift, the robes were given to the Ananda by a wife. And when the husband learned that the robes had been given to the monks, he was kind of upset. So he went to Ananda and said, well, you know, what are you going to do with all these robes? You know, you can't use them all. You know, this is a waste for you to have it. And you already have robes. And he said, well, yes, but I'm going to go back to the monastery and give them to the monks whose robes are worn out. Yeah, but what are they going to do with those worn-out robes? Just throw them away? No. The worn-out robes, they're going to make bed sheets. What are they going to do with the bed sheets they have? Well, they're going to make those into floor sheets to put on the floor. But what are they going to do with the floor sheets they have? Well, with those, they're going to cut them up and make them into pillowcases. Yeah, but what are they going to do with the pillowcases they already have? They're going to be wasted, right? Oh, with those, they're going to make foot towels. Yeah, but what are they going to do with the foot towels they already have? These monks, you know, they already have so much stuff. And with the foot towels, they're going to shred them up, and when they build their kind of, I guess, their mud cabins or something to live in, they're going to use the shredded cloth to support the mud and hold it in place. So with this, the husband was satisfied that these monks were not going to waste, that the gift that his wife has given wasn't going to be a wasted gift. It was, these monks were careful to use everything they had. So I think it's a great story for the idea of caring for what we have, recycling, not wasting what we have. And in fact, a number of the monastics that I've known this is how they've lived. They've been very careful of what they have. I see them sometimes wearing sandals that have been repaired with duct tape and different things. They're not, and I've offered to buy a new pair of sandals to a monk whose slippers that he wore seemed extremely worn out. And he said, "No way, these are still good." And most of you probably would have long given them up, but he was going to wear it because as long as it was useful, he was going to wear it. He wasn't going to. And so how do you live with the, you know, how do you care for what you own, the things that you have? Do you care for them in that kind of way? Caring for them in that way, I think, is a way of caring for the world, right? Because the less that we consume, the less we're using the resources of the earth, the less we're causing damage in the environment and the world around us. And so, you know, it's one thing to recycle by putting things in the recycling bin. It's another thing to use it again for some other purpose before it ends up in the recycling bin. Kind of a dedication to care for the things we use, the things that come through us, the things we possess and the own, and to consider the consumption of it, to consider what happens when we finish using it. Can we reuse? Can we recycle? Can we use less? Because it's very easy, I think it's all too easy, to discard things, to be finished with things, and once they're out of sight, they're out of mind. Once they're out of sight, we no longer have any responsibility for them. And the fact that they go off and fill, landfill, or they go and who knows where they go. But some of the things that we discard are not discarded in ways that are environmentally sound. The batteries we have, right? Most of us now are careful with the batteries, but you put a battery in the regular trash, and that is not such a good thing. So we have a model of a tradition that dedicating on living simply, lightly, living in a way that we don't cause a burden for the world. I love the signs that they have when you go backpacking, that leave no traces, carry it out with you. If you bring it in, bring it out. So because except for maybe your human waste, you don't want to go into the wilderness and leave behind your plastic bottles or your wrappers and things. You want to take it out. You don't want to leave no trace. But is there some way that in an urban environment like here, the way we live our lives, can we minimize the trace that we live? How much, that we create? Is there something equivalent here to, packing it out with us and not having it kind of just go to waste, not having it cause more pollution or landfill or something? So I think this is something you probably all have thought about one way or the other, and it's not such a foreign idea from all of you. I think what's more interesting is for someone who's doing a practice like mindfulness or Buddhist practice, is to take a look at yourself, at what is the inner motivation and inner actions that inspire you to live this way. Because it's very easy to hear these kind of things and feel burdened by it, feel like it's an obligation. I came to be inspired at IMC today, and what a drag. Now I have to kind of go home and, this obligation to kind of, live a more frugal life. But I think the more interesting thing is to look inside. One of the important resources to be careful with is the resources of our own mind and the resource of our own hearts and emotions. And to be burdened by things, to do things out of a sense of obligation and feel kind of weighed down by it, is not very inspiring. It's not a very good use of our renewable resources. But are there ways of being careful with our motivation to use the practice we have so that we can live a life that's responsible and caretaking for the world and for others, but in a way that lightens us, the way that frees us, the way that brings out the best in us? That, I think, is much more exciting. I think we have to have a society that takes more care for the environment. That's obvious. But can we do it in such a way that it comes out of our joy and our inspiration, our delight to do it? How do we look upon nature? How do we look upon the natural world? How do we look upon our consumptions, what we do, in such a way that it's a delight and a joy to maybe buy less, delight and a joy to recycle, delight and a joy to take care of what we do, to have so we have less impact on the world we live around us? I suspect that most people, except most people here who come to IMC, could probably live a life that has less impact, environmental impact on the world around them. So, what motivates you to do that? What are the inner ideas, values that guide you in that direction? And are they values and ideas that brighten your life? And do you want to be brightened by it? So I think that's the only way that there's any hope for us, is if we find a way that it feels bright to do these things as opposed to heavy and a drag. So we have this Earth Care Week this week. And so for those of you who want to participate in it, I have two suggestions. One is that you look at your motivation, your relationship to all this, and see if there's some way that you're not overlaying a should on top of yourself, but rather there's some kind of connection you have to the world that comes through your heart and that it's a joy or delight to change what you do, your consumption patterns, your transportation patterns, through something, so that you have you lower the negative impact that your life has on the world around you. And that one of the ways, the second thing is, one of the ways is to, during this week, give some active time to think out, to plan ahead about how you use your car. If you're a car driver, can you limit how much you use your car? Can you take public transportation? Can you carpool? If you go to the store, which is 10 minutes away, can you walk rather than take your car? What can you do to limit your use of gasoline and the pollution that comes out of your car? I bet that all of you could do something. I biked here today, which was a lot of fun. I enjoy biking whenever I can, or walking whenever I can down here. More fun than driving. And I think that it's not insignificant that we begin changing our patterns of consumption, even though our contribution to a difference is pretty minuscule. I think that a lot of minuscule changes together add up to something significant. So we have this Earth Care Week, so I hope that you participate in one way or the other, that you use the week to consider ways and my hope is that this kind of idea becomes more contagious, that we as a Buddhist community are recognized as participating with a lot of different people's efforts around the globe to try to reverse some of the tremendous damage that's happening on the environment. So that's what I have to say. So now we're going to care for our building care time. And I have a couple of things I want to ask before Jeff asks for the volunteering. We have an intro to meditation class here tonight, and we usually need more chairs in here. Maybe two people can take the chairs from the closet in there and bring them out here and put a third row in the front of those two there. That's, two people want to do that? Maybe the two of you. And then when you finish that, if you could then also set up many of the chairs out there, because we need to have rows of chairs out there. That way the people who come to manage later won't have to do it. And, okay?
How do we coordinate that with the vacuuming then?
Why don't you start with putting the chairs in the outer hall, and the vacuum person can start by vacuuming the the outer perimeter, and so that when they can go and put the chairs in.
Okay, could we have four people to work outside? One, two, three, four. And Jim, would you coordinate that? Great. And let's see, how about four people to do the restrooms? Okay, one, two, three, four. And there's one upstairs and then these three back here. And the cleaning supplies are in there. And let's see, how about two people to vacuum? Somebody to do the vacuuming in here, and then another person, Kim, if you would vacuum the conference room and the mats out there by the shoes and stuff. And someone to sweep the social hall, Ursula, thank you. And someone to sweep the porch, the front steps and the back steps. Okay, if the two of you could do that, that would be good. And two other people to do the recycling. Okay, that would be good. And maybe you could help her with the recycling. There's cans in the bathrooms, and then the ones in the kitchen and right out here. Oh, in the library also. So if you could kind of coordinate putting them into, dumping them together. I think that's it. Did I forget anything? Oh, yeah. How about the windows? Right. Okay, so if you two could do the windows, that'd be great. Thank you. And I'll ring the bell at quarter after.